Luke chapter 13. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 13. Again, familiar passage of Scripture. There's always good things in the Bible that, you know, as I'm reading through, they just kind of seem to stand out and stick out at you. And that's usually how I wind up getting sermons. Sometimes I'll get inspiration ideas from other places, but normally it's just spending time reading the Bible and something kind of comes to the forefront and light, and you think about it and you wind up thinking about it for a few days and you think, well, that'd be a good sermon. And then you sit down and you start putting things together and it just kind of, morphed from there. But in Luke chapter 13, take a look down in verse 10, our passage of scripture starts in verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you sent your Son some 2,000 years ago to this earth to be born, to live a sinless and a perfect and a holy life, only to be crucified by mortal men. But Father, he did that for a reason. He did that because we needed a payment for our sins. And Father, I pray that you would help just elevate the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning in our minds. I do ask that if there is anybody here who has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that Father, maybe this morning through this message, they would begin to understand a little more deeply of their need for a Savior, their need for salvation. Father, for the rest, for the Christians that are here, just ask you to minister to them, take the words that are spoken, and give to them, each and every one of them, Father, what they need. Set me aside. Let the words of God, Father, do the work here this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have this woman here that has gone down to the synagogue, the church, if you will, on the Sabbath morning. For us, that would be like somebody coming to church on a Sunday morning. And she is there, I'm assuming, and I don't think it's a far stretch, it's probably part of her normal habit. It is possible that this is just a, you know, an odd event for her. Maybe she doesn't normally go to church. The text doesn't say. Either way, some pretty amazing things happen. She's there, and she, of course, is crippled. She is bound. And what we read here is we read the Lord Jesus Christ's interaction with somebody that is bound. Amen? We get a glimpse of what the Lord tries to do in someone's life when they are bound. And so I titled this message this morning very simply, Breaking the Bonds. Yeah, don't go across that line. Breaking the Bonds. Now, there's a lot of different applications, a lot of different ways to look at this, but so I'm going to try to kind of move along and not tarry too long in any one area, because the final section is probably going to wind up being the longest. But I want you to know here this morning, this lady comes to church just like you have here this morning. She's probably sitting somewhere back in the congregation, maybe in the back row, because it's just easier and more convenient for her to be back there. Maybe she's up in the front row. I don't know where the door happened to be in the synagogue that they were at, but she's there. And what happens is the Lord Jesus Christ shows up. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ sees what's going on, just like, folks, if he shows up here this morning, he sees each and every one of us here this morning. I mean, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where your life is taking you and where you're at currently. But I know this. I know that if you're here this morning, I know the Lord shows up. And I know the Lord sees every single one of you and knows where you're at. Amen? And the Lord saw this woman who was bound, and she had been bound for 18 years. It was a long time. And folks, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His compassion and His grace, singles her out and calls her to Him. That is an amazing thing. The Lord Jesus Christ singles her out and calls her to Him. And I'm going to start off by saying this about breaking the bonds. Listen, one of the first bonds that needs to be broken in our lives is the bond of sin. Amen? We all know the story of Adam and Eve and the apple, and Eve ate it, and then Adam found out what was going on, and he ate it. But this woman here is in the synagogue. And what she represents and what we see is somebody that's crippled up and she can't even stand up, the Bible says. She couldn't help herself up, right? So she's been in this condition for 18 years. And of course, we know that in the Bible, when somebody has those types of problems, it is a picture, it's a type of sin and what sin can do to a person. Listen, if you live in sin for a long period of time, it'll affect you mentally, it'll affect you physically. It'll cripple you up, and you will be spiritually in a condition like she was physically. Amen? You will not be able to lift yourself up. When it comes to spiritual things, the truth of the matter is, you can't lift yourself up. But to show you that there's that parallel, take a look just a couple chapters back. Keep your hand in Luke 13, because that's where we're going to be primarily. But look back in Luke chapter 5, and we'll see another case of this in the Bible. Again, another story you're familiar with. In Luke chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him," but before Jesus. "And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he, as Jesus, saw their faith, he said unto the man, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee.' The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" That's a pretty bold step for Jesus Christ to take. But let me rephrase that. It's a pretty bold step for a man to take, unless he's Jesus Christ. Unless he's God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? You can't. I'm sorry, I can't forgive your sins. I can throw water on you, I can make the sign of the cross, I can dunk you in the water. I cannot forgive your sins. And neither can any other man on this face of this earth either. Amen? And these scribes and Pharisees, who can forgive sins but God alone? They just don't know what they really said, because they were looking at God alone. Right? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easy to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'?" Verse 24, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go to thy house.'" Listen, what we see in the Bible is this picture of somebody being healed, or them having this condition, this physical condition. It's a picture of somebody being bound with sin. And she had no power at all to free herself from those bonds. Listen, if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are just like this woman or this man that we've talked about. This woman in Luke 13 was at church, right? But she was broken physically and spiritually. You'll notice in verse 11, she had a spirit of infirmity. I would like to say this. When it comes to the bonds of sin, you know, The outside can tell an awful lot. If you've seen somebody that's been involved in sin for a long period of time, it can't help but show on their face. It can't help but show in their body. It takes an effect on your body. But the real thing that is of concern is the spiritual aspect. Because we're talking about a difference between heaven and hell once you leave this life. This woman had a spirit of infirmity. It wasn't just a physical thing. The Lord made sure to point out that this is a spiritual picture. That's why I look back in Luke 5 at the man, because Jesus Christ said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And if you're lost here this morning, listen, that's the condition you're in. That's what you need. The man in Luke 5 was in such bad condition. Listen, I don't know if the woman had to be carried there or not that morning. But the man in Luke 5 was in such bad condition, he was stuck in a bed. That's where sin will take you, if you're not careful. The man in Luke chapter 5 was in such bad condition, listen, he had to have friends carry him around. They had to carry him to Jesus. I know others in the Bible walked to Jesus Christ on their own. Some of them actually knew they needed a Savior. Some of them just needed help, thought they just needed help with the physical things that were going on in their life. Now, I realize that, again, some of them probably came to the Lord Jesus Christ with a less than perfect motive. But let me say this. If you come to church here this morning, and maybe the thought in your mind wasn't, "Hey, I'm going to go find Jesus. I need Jesus. I need the Lord. He's the only one that can save me." Maybe that wasn't your thought this morning. Maybe you just wound up here. You're not sure how exactly. You're still wondering whether it was a good idea or not. But some of those folks came to Jesus probably just worried about their physical condition. They had problems, right? Amen. They were bound. They didn't realize that the thing that was binding them was sin. I mean, they knew they sinned, but they never really thought or understood the depths of being bound in sin. But what they found, listen, far exceeded their expectations. What this woman found, she winds up in the synagogue Sunday morning at a church service, and here she is in the congregation, bound in sin. It revealed itself physically, but spiritually there was a problem. And the Lord Jesus Christ walks in and points her out and says, "Excuse me, come here." And she's faced with a choice. And she chooses to go see Jesus Christ. And what the Lord does when she chooses, she didn't have to go to him, but she does. And what she finds when the Lord Jesus Christ looks at her and forgives her for her sins and tells her to get up and walk, the Bible says she straightened herself up. She got more than she ever bargained for. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. I don't think she had any clue what was going to happen when she first decided to go see Jesus Christ. She'd probably heard about the man. She'd probably heard some rumors, but she didn't go out of her way to seek him out before the service. So that tells me she probably wasn't really looking for him. She was just there. But the Lord saw her need. And the Lord said to her, "Come here." And she went. If you're lost here this morning, listen, maybe you don't realize your need for salvation. Maybe you don't realize your need for forgiveness of those sins. Maybe you don't realize the escape that you have available to you from a sinner's hell by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you don't realize the fullness of what eternity in heaven actually means. Or, for that matter, the terror of what eternity in hell actually means. But I know this, you showed up this morning, and the Lord Jesus Christ undoubtedly Because the Lord Jesus Christ was not interested in this woman staying in her bonds of sin. And he's not interested in you staying in your bonds of sin. It'll exceed your expectations. Like I said, I don't know what brought you here this morning. I don't know what you're going through in life. I don't know what problems you face. I don't know what struggles that you're having. But the Lord does. And whatever the reason is that you're here, what you need, if you're lost here this morning, what you need is the Lord Jesus Christ to say, come here. And like this woman, you need to listen. She was glad she listened. Amen? She was glad she listened. And what she received out of this whole thing was more than she ever dreamed about when she got up that morning at home. She probably, in her wildest imagination, never dreamt the day would turn out the way that it turned out. And that's what you get when you finally break. When you finally give up from self and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I better hurry. While having your sins forgiven is the main goal, obviously we, those of us that are saved, know that because that determines your eternal destiny. Sometimes there are some hindrances to that happening. Sometimes before you're ready to put your faith and trust in this, this Jesus Christ guy for salvation, there's something else that needs to be broken out of. You need to break the bond of religion. Organized or unorganized. I see a lot of people who say, oh, I don't believe in organized religion. Okay, so? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Because you're going to die and go to heaven or hell whether you believe in organized religion or not, right?
Amen.
Some people don't believe in organized religion. And they religion, just by virtue of what it is, has a way of muddying the waters. I mean, the water is supposed to be clear. The Lord said that the things of God are simple. Their salvation is easy to see in the Bible. But religion has a way of getting in there and throwing mud in that water, and you can't see what's going on. It's crazy. Religion has a facade of spirituality. It has a facade of a spiritual walk with God, but it always seems to miss the heart. Many of you probably saw this. You guys see the shoe? Did you hear about the shoe that this company came out with? They took a shoe, and for a advertising gimmick, they went to the River Jordan, had a priest bless the holy water, turn it into holy water, and they put holy water in the sole of the shoe. And they sold this shoe for $1,425, Matthew 14:25. $1,400 for a shoe because religion put some holy water in the soul. Now that's bad enough. This shoe sold out within just a couple of minutes of going online. And then people started reselling it. It was selling for $3,000 and $4,000. You say, what is that? That's religion. Right? That's religion. That's crazy. That's lunacy. That is nuts. And what you have in this woman, as she gets to the synagogue, Jesus Christ shows up, sees her. Jesus Christ is interested in giving her something personal. Break the bonds of her sin. And he calls her and he says, you know, come here. And she makes a decision, a conscious decision. Yes, I'm going to Jesus Christ. And then he sets her free. He breaks her bonds of sin. And what's the first thing that happens? The first thing that happens down in verse 15 is you got the ruler of the synagogue. Verse 14. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Do you ever notice how angry people get sometimes when you bring up spiritual conversations? Have you ever tried to discuss heaven or hell, eternal security or salvation with somebody that's lost and they know that they're going to hell? They have a tendency to get a little agitated when this happens.
Amen.
That's religion. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ shows up. This woman is crippled over, needs to be healed, and he heals her. And the ruler of the synagogue is angry about it. I was talking with a guy at work a while back, and the conversation runs fine until it starts to come down to that place where it begins to be a little personal.
Amen.
And what happens, folks, is you got the Lord, you got the devil working on you, and you start feeling a little bit of conviction inside of your heart. And the Lord starts dealing with you about some eternal things and about salvation, and you have a tendency to get kind of agitated. I don't want to listen to this. That's not what I came here for. That's not the conversation I want to have. And this ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, blah, 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 blah." Listen, religion, the religious guys, they weren't interested in someone being healed. So lost people all over this country, they're searching for something. They don't know what they're searching for. They got this emptiness. And they're looking for answers. And they go to religion because they don't know any better. But according to this text, it's the religious people you got to watch out for.
Amen.
Right? The religious people in the synagogue, in the church. Those are the ones you got to be most careful about. You say, how can you say that? You're a pastor. Yeah, I know. I got it. So don't believe me. Don't trust me. Read the Bible for yourself.
Amen.
Find the answers. Right? Because I'm a pastor. You know how they are. I don't have any problem with that. Praise the Lord. Right? 6 days in which men ought to work. He wasn't interested in someone being freed from sin. He was interested in keeping his own domain. Hey, who's this guy infringing upon my money? Now, the thing that I find hilarious is the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, responds to him in verse 15. Now, You gotta put yourself in that position, in that synagogue, to fully appreciate what's going on here. Jesus Christ has just healed a woman. Something spiritual has happened. She's now standing up straight. The religious crowd is angry. And he starts talking to the people, basically saying, "There's 6 days you guys can do your work. Don't come messing with the Sabbath. Don't do anything to tarnish our religion. Don't say anything against our religious practices." And the Lord Jesus Christ, this is God Himself, stands up and looks at that person dead in the eye and says, "Thou hypocrite!"
Amen.
In church. Why? That's pretty uncouth. It's not polite at all. You'd think for a second he actually had an emotional investment in her being healed. Well, he did. He stands up and says, "Thou hypocrite." Right in the middle of church. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mess around when it comes to somebody's soul. Religion will. But the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't. Matthew chapter 7 is another example. He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah spoken of you," this is Jesus Christ, "Well hath Isaiah spoken of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." He says in Mark chapter 7 verse 9, he says, "Full well you'll reject the commandments of God that you may keep your own tradition." I've met people that have been so involved in their denomination before, so involved in their religion. But you can see something's missing.
Amen.
You ever seen that? Oh yeah, you talk to them. Oh yeah, I go to church. Oh yeah, but something's missing. And if you're lost here this morning, if you never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as yourself, you know what you know? You know there's something missing. You may not be able to put your finger on it. You may not have a good explanation of what it is, but you know inside something is missing. You've got to break free from that religious bond that you ran, that people are in. People get tied up with religion and the denomination. And I don't care if it's Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian. I don't care what it is. You can be just as bound as a Baptist as you can a Catholic.
Amen.
It's not about the denomination. At some point, you got to break free from that and realize, hey, the Lord is interested in me personally. He's interested in my sins being forgiven. And He's going out of His way to call me to have my sins forgiven. That's what this woman and the man back in Luke chapter 5 found. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to break that bond of religion before you can break the bond of sin. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're not already saved, if you're here this morning and you have never been born again, can I just say this as charitably as I can? Your religion, however much or little there is of it, has failed you. It hasn't even given you the first step, and that is forgiveness of your sins by the only one that can forgive sins.
Amen.
Who can forgive sins but God alone? I agree. At least they got that much right. They just didn't want to listen. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, your religion has failed you because it hasn't gotten to your heart. It hasn't become something real. And you need to break free from that before you can break free out of that bond of sin. What I mean is this. You got to quit trusting in your religion and start trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen? Amen?
This woman had to make a choice. Right there, right in the middle of service, the Lord called to her and she had to either answer and come or refuse. Same thing happens day after day after day in churches all across this country. Same thing could be happening right here, right now. The Lord's calling, but He will let you answer yes or no. The woman had a choice. While the first two points are true, and they're critical because they determine, listen, your eternity, which, again, is heaven or hell. You need to get free from religion so you can break the bonds of sin, so that you can develop a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust Him as your Savior. And that, all that, those things are true. The fact of the matter is, most of us that are here this morning, we've already done that. This is review, right? But what often gets missed for the Christian is what I'm going to say is the obvious, the practical application. A Christian has already broken the bond of sin. We trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Lord took that blood that He shed on the cross, applied it to our hearts, applied it to our account, washed our sin and erased it, threw it as far away as the east is from the west. We've already had that bond broken. We've already broken the bond of religion. We don't trust in a pastor or a priest or a cardinal or a bishop to save us or to impart to us spiritual favor with God. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've broken that bond. Amen?
Amen.
For the Christian, Jesus Christ desires to break another bond. And that is this, a bond of infirmity. Listen, it says this woman could in no wise lift herself up, right? She was stuck. She was immobile. She had an infirmity that she could not conquer. She had an infirmity that kept her crippled. She had an infirmity that took away her comfort. So, what is an infirmity? A physical ailment, it's a lack of strength, a moral or weakness or failing. The definition of the root word infirm is this. It's poor or deteriorated vitality. There's your physical or mental weakness. That is, it's feeble or weak in body or health. That's an infirmity. Right? Here we are living this Christian life, and we're supposed to be Christians, but sometimes we're just not what we're supposed to be. We're a little on the weak side. We're a little on the feeble side. We have some infirmity that's kind of keeping us from being where we're supposed to be. Listen, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is just as interested in breaking that bond as he is saving that woman from her sins. Right? Maybe your walk with the Lord is kind of weak because some condition or some aspect of your life that just needs to be straightened out. And it's got you as a Christian crippled and bent over and kind of just unable to do the things that you need to do. What is that? It's an infirmity. It is poor or deteriorated vitality. It is another definition of being infirm is weak of mind, will, or character. A couple of words that describe that is irresolute or vacillating. Irresolute is you're not certain about what to do. You walk through your Christian life. Listen, are you walking, living your Christian life, and you just keep having these questions, and you're unsure, and you're uncertain, and you vacillate back and forth. It's you have doubts, right? You lack confidence. It's a moral weakness. It's vacillating back and forth. It is a fear. It's character flaws that cause you to stumble. What is that? It's an infirmity that affects our Christian walk. Even though we're saved, even though we've broken the bonds of sin, even though we've broken the bonds of religion, we got this thing, this hindrance to us in our Christian walk, and we find ourselves time and time again just not sure what to do or where to go or how to act. Another definition is not solid or stable. The word for that is insecure. A lot of times, folks, you may be born again, you may be saved, you may have the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of you, the Holy Spirit is sealed until the day of redemption, and you're on your way to heaven, there's no doubt about it at all. But yet, what happens is sometimes, because of these types of things, they get into our character, they get into us, and as a Christian, we can take on these infirmities that keep us from being what we need to be. And the Lord Jesus Christ is interested, and he sees this woman at church, and she's struggling. And she's got this infirmity that's plagued her, in her case, for 18 years. And so the practical application is applying it to a Christian. You've been struggling and struggling and struggling with your Christian walk. You've been struggling with your Christian life, and you're unsure, and you're you're not solid or stable. You're insecure. You're irresolute. You're feeble or weak in your Christian life. You're not consistent. Some days you fake it pretty well. Other days, it's just there's something that's hindering our Christian walk, and it's an infirmity. I don't know what it is for you. I know everyone struggles with it at one point or another, and what bothers you may be different than what bothers the person next to you. But when it comes to these infirmities, listen, we need to be a little careful. We need to be a little careful because this is what we feel like. Right? This is what we feel like if we pay attention. But I'd like to say this. An infirmity can do one of two things. Folks, an infirmity can actually help. You say, well, that's not good news. Well, you remember the Apostle Paul, right? He sought the Lord three times for those problems with his eyes. That was his infirmity. And what did the Lord tell him? Paul said this, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he, that is the Lord, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul had to deal with that and struggle with that. And that was an infirmity that was designed there to help him. Right? It was an infirmity that the Lord gave Paul because Paul needed a certain measure of humility. Paul had to remember that he needed to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ and that he couldn't take it all upon himself and take credit for it, which most of us guys like to do. But nonetheless, that was an infirmity, was it not?
Yes.
It was an infirmity that Paul had to deal with. So when we start thinking about the Christian life and we come upon something that we consider an infirmity, we got to be a little careful because it might be there to strengthen us, to help us. And the Lord might have it there because he wants us to rely on him. And he wants us to get to the same place that Paul got to when Paul realized he begged the Lord to take it from him. It was sincere. I'm sure it was over a long period of time. And he finally got to the place where he was resolved, I can trust in Jesus Christ even though I have this infirmity.
Amen.
I can serve the Lord. I can minister to people. I can do all of these things, even though I've got this infirmity. And the Lord had to take Paul to that place where he showed him that his infirmity was not something that was going to go away. So we have to think of that. The other thing that infirmity can be for us is a hindrance. These are the ones that need to be gotten rid of. Right? I mean, I threw that first one up there just to let you know. Sometimes the Lord will allow us to have something going on in our life that he just wants us to struggle with. For strength, for wisdom, for whatever his reason, he's God, he knows best. But sometimes, folks, there's infirmities that we have that just tear us down. Sometimes there's infirmities that we have that just make us doubt. They make us unstable. They make us insecure. They all those other things start attacking us. Take a look at Psalm 77 real quick. Psalm 77, we're almost done. Psalm 77, what are we talking about? We're talking about infirmities. Psalm 77. Here's an example of let's say, a bad infirmity. One that the Lord would like for you to get rid of. It says in Psalm 77:1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice. He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. So obviously the psalmist here is in trouble. Right? He's trying to be spiritual. He went to church, so to speak. But he can't seem to get the victory over what's happening. Take a look down for the sake of time in verse 7. Here's the conclusion. Here's what this infirmity brought him to. Will the Lord cast off forever? This is where he's at. Will he be favorable no more? Verse 8, is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity. So here you have a scenario, folks, where an infirmity can either help or hinder a Christian. I would say to you, the psalmist here in Psalm 77 has gotten to a point in his Christian life where that infirmity is not a help. It's a hindrance. And he's struggling with it. And he's actually gotten to the place where he's thinking God doesn't care about him anymore. Will he be angry forever? Is he going to lose all? I mean, am I going to lose all of God's mercy? So when it comes to this matter of hindrances, of infirmities, they can help or they can hinder. You say, how do I know the difference? A good question. Sometimes the answer is not always easy. But I know this. Proverbs 18 says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? I know this. Christian, if you're saved here, you're going to go through times where these infirmities creep up. And rather they're of character, rather they're of physical, rather they're mental, spiritual, rather they're just an attitude, they're going to creep up and you're going to have to battle with them. And you're going to be tempted to think God is done. You're going to be tempted to think he's given you more than you can handle. You're going to be tempted to go through that and look at that infirmity and get very discouraged by it and just think that there's never going to be any relief. But folks, what the Lord Jesus Christ did throughout his 3.5 years on earth is went around healing people of their infirmities. It's a spiritual picture, I get it. But the Lord was interested in that woman being set free. The Lord was interested in that man at the pool of Siloam being made whole. The Lord was interested in taking his people and the infirmities that they were facing, getting them through that. And if by some chance that infirmity was meant for their good, like Paul's, what the Lord does is he gives you the grace and the strength and the comfort to make it through. You say, how do I know if the infirmity is to help or to hinder? I would suggest this. You pray about it like Paul did. You bring it to the Lord like Paul did. You maybe fast. You take some time and you spend some time in the Word of God and you search it out and you ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what is this? Is this infirmity to help or to hinder? And if that verse helps you through it, then you're in the league with Paul. You come to the place where you realize my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul said, okay, Lord, all right. I don't like it, but I can take it. But if you're facing an infirmity that verse doesn't fix it for you, you can't seem to get to the place where your reliance becomes on Jesus Christ and you are confident that He'll take you through this trial and comfort you through the trial and be with you in the trial and that you're okay and you're supposed to be in the trial, if the infirmity doesn't get you to that spot, it's a hindrance. And you need to seek the Lord and figure out how to get it gone. Right? Because that is a bond, an infirmity that binds you. And what the Lord does is set you free. Amen. Now, it may take a little bit of a struggle. It may take some time. But I would say this, folks. The Lord set Paul free from his infirmity, even though the infirmity didn't go away.
Yes. Amen.
He gave Paul the comfort, the strength, as he was relying on the Lord to make it through with that infirmity. That is victory. That is success. That is not failure. But too often what happens is the Lord is in the same synagogue and He's looking, calling, saying, I want to take this burden from you. I want to break these bonds from you. And we miss it because we don't seek it diligently. Something about that burden keeps us bound. Those are the ones you want to get rid of. Why? Because those infirmities wound your spirit. Those infirmities wound your spirit. And Proverbs said, a wounded spirit, who can bear? You can't. Those are the kind of infirmities that hinder. So here we are. And I'm done. In both cases, God gives relief.
Amen.
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 So if this is something that, if you have this infirmity that you feel has still got you bound up and there is no relief, can I say this? It's not God's fault. Because the Lord will either give you the grace to go through it or break you free from it.
Amen.
Infirmities. Infirmities. This woman was bound. We started off talking about if you're lost here this morning, you're bound in sin. And you need to find a way to break free. I mean, your eternal destiny, heaven or hell, depends. You're in church like the woman. The Lord Jesus Christ calls. The question is, will you answer? She came to Him, and He set her free. That's what God desires. Sometimes the bond of religion keeps us from that. That's got to be broken. We talked about that. And then we talked about that bond of infirmities that Christians have to face. I mean, lost people have to face them too, but Christians have to deal with them. And for us as a Christian, sometimes it's not as cut and dry as salvation. Sometimes it takes a little bit of prayer and time and seeking the Lord and finding out rather this thing we're battling is a help or a hindrance. Now, I'm sure Paul did not like the fact that it was a help, but he accepted it. And the Lord gave him grace to accept it. But those ones that are hindrances, Christians, we got to get rid of those. As many of us as we can. Week after week, day after day, we examine our lives. We look at our lives. And we go, what's hindering me? What's binding me? And we work at getting rid of them. Why? Because we want to be free. We don't want to be bound. We want to be able to stand up again in our Christian life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for just some simple examples of things that people go through, people struggle with in the Christian life. Father, I know that most of these folks here this morning are saved. They've already received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Father, we've addressed that a little bit. That doesn't mean that we're going to escape all the infirmities, but it certainly means you have a desire to either A, help us break free from them, or B, help us to give us the comfort and the grace to carry through them. But Father, maybe there's somebody here this morning who's lost, somebody who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, they're bound by sin. And what this woman had to deal with, first of all, was to be willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she did, Father, she got more than she ever dreamed of. And we see that happening time and time again, because you are interested in forgiving sins. I pray if there's somebody here this morning who's lost, that this morning would be the morning they would just give in and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.